This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
WNYC Studios is supported by the community of writers, presenting live online short courses in the Writers' Annex. Upcoming in 2024, Sylvia Plath, James Joyce's Ulysses, and Emily Dickinson. Instructors include Victoria Chang, Robert Haas, Brenda Hillman, Peter Orner, and Matthew Zapruder. Learn more at communityofwriters.org.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The list of cartoonists who are household names is a very short list. But Roz Chast is certainly at the top of it. She's been publishing in The New Yorker since she was 24, and her book, Can't We Talk About Something More Pleasant, was a finalist for the National Book Award in 2014. Her cartoons stand out for how personal they are. They're about marital tensions and the stress of dealing with your crazy parents and your even crazier children. In her drawings, everyone looks completely frazzled, even the animals.
Hi, I'm Liana Fink. We are outside Roz Chast's house in Connecticut, and I brought her some flowers that might be a bit too romantic.
I made it. Oh my God, you're beautiful. Thank you so much. Come on in.
Liana Fink grew up studying Roz's cartoons, and she started contributing her own cartoons to The New Yorker a few years ago when she was 27. They share a certain stressed-out line and a love of birds.
This is Jackie. She is a caique. She's very unshy.
She looks like a Disney character. She has these big eyes.
She's a little bit of a cartoon bird.
I've been falling in love with Jackie. She's trembling while I pet her. I was a really shy kid, and I've always felt really comfortable with animals because they don't do the things that I feel like I have to pretend to do, like hold conversations that are really hard for me. So I always feel connected to pigeons. I feel like there are these wild creatures in the city, and I'm like that too.
Jackie's a very good bird. This is my very neurotic and very sweet African grey, and she says many, many things. As you can see, she plucks.
She looks like a lion because she has this plucked body and this regal head.
Hey, Eli, what's this?
That's water.
That's right. That's right. What a smart bird. What a smart, smart bird. This is a list of the things that she says, by the way. She says chirp. She says chirp, chirp, chirp. Who cares? When she gets scared, sometimes she'll say to herself, it's okay, it's okay, it's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a self-soothing yes. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she knows.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, me too.
Yeah, it's okay,
I say fearless.
I say, like, people do this.
Yeah.
You know, like when I'm driving especially, because driving and I are not good friends.
You had a cartoon about driving where you just tell the story of driving, but you call it sailing instead of driving.
Yeah,
it is. It is. I thought maybe if I did a cartoon where I was comfortable with it, like somehow, like I would actually become more comfortable. But gradually, I'm more. It's better than it was when I started. But I mean, it worked. The cartoon worked. but I still getting lost is. I mean, the GPS is good, but then I worry about the GPS going out.
I read your work most deeply when I was in high school and college. I think that's why I love The New Yorker. I mean, I know it. I think I was 14 when I found your work, and we had just moved to this suburban kind of fancy kind of waspy town in New Jersey. And I related so much as this kind of outsider and as a person who drew and as a shy kid and as a Jew. Like, it just completely summarize my world, and you got a lot of zeitgeisty stuff in there too. Like it was much more intense than rereading an old diary or looking at photographs or something, I feel like you really cut that era and cut my life. And how do you feel when you reread your work?
Sometimes it does bring me back, because I guess a lot of my work is kind of personal. So,
what do you feel about your cartoons being the most autobiographical ones in The New Yorker?
Definitely, there's a part of me that is that voice of sorry, 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 mm-hmm. sorry, 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 sorry. You know, I mean, sometimes I wish that I did a whole different kind of work, you know. But I always think there's that Yiddish, you know, if my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a wagon.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if I were a very different person, then I would do different cartoons.
Are you terrified of people?
Oh, yeah. And I know that everything that I say this afternoon, I'm going to rewind in my head and regret.
Oh, no.
And that is just what, I mean, I'm just almost, I wouldn't quite say used to it, but I just know that that's.
I still regret some things that I've said to you like a year ago.
And I probably
think about it all the time.
It's just like a regretter's festival.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a very big fan of your work in the magazine too.
I love
seeing it, and I love God finding all of the prayers of mankind in his spam folder. I think it's just sensational.
Thanks. I mean, I don't care about them. I mean, I love working. I don't care if they're good. If I cared, I would be paralyzed.
Well, do you have ways that you sort of trick yourself of kind of getting out of that?
Yeah, I think it might have been easier for me if I were a guy and encouraged to be assertive.
Do you feel that like making jokes sometimes, like comedy, is a way of being assertive and expressing anger that like you can be like very indirect about it?
Yeah. Yeah. I never even thought of myself as funny, and I still don't. I think of myself as really needing to express myself, and I think for some people that's the same thing. I kind of think for you it's the same thing.
For me, it doesn't seem to work to like deliberately like try to be funny. I mean, I might make something that then I think, well, that's really a pretty good joke. That's pretty funny, but it's not funny.
Yeah.
I remember drawing things that made me laugh when I was really little.
Yeah.
And that I liked that. I mean, I think when I got to be a certain age, it was like things came out funny, and I didn't really want them necessarily to come out funny, but they came out funny. Like, you know, drawing horses, and I could not draw horses because I don't. Yeah. I'm not a horse. I did not like horses.
When I wrote you some fan mail when I was 15, a lot of it was praising your horses, and then your magnificent letter that you wrote back to me contained some drawings of horses.
Big
teeth.
Yes, I just actually was drawing some horses the other day just for fun. And I'll show them to you. I have them right here. I was just I was trying to explain to somebody the horse drawings that I did when I was a kid.
So it's a page of watercolor paper with 20 horses on it. And all of them have kind of hair that was cool in the 90s, like sticking straight up, and also this very game grin on their faces, kind of like bros.
You know Highlights for Children?
Oh, yes.
Quasi-educational magazine for children. It was often in dentists' offices and waiting rooms. And they had this thing, Our Own Page. And I wanted to get a drawing onto Our Own Page when I was around 10, and I noticed that most of the drawings that were accepted by little girls were of horses, or quite a number of them were. And so one day I decided I was going to, God damn it, I was going to learn to draw horses. I was going to make myself draw horse after horse until I got it right. And I filled up this sketchbook with drawings of horses. And then I looked at them, and I laughed so hard that I nearly like lost, you know, control of bodily functions. They were just so terrible, but they were so funny. And hello, we hear you.
What's it like when you get letters from young women? Do you feel this huge responsibility? people like me probably send you very personal letters in which they maybe think that you're their mom or something. Is it? What's it like?
Well, I feel like women relate to each other differently from the way men relate to each other. And I don't know. I mean, when I give talks and stuff, it's mostly women in the audience, different ages, but mostly women, but guys too.
I do think there's something different in how we're made, but I also wonder whether there's so many more obstacles for a woman to become something like a cartoonist that maybe the women who, and the obstacles are very insidious and invisible, such as I don't see anyone like me doing this, so I'm not even going to try. So I wonder if the women who do make it are people who are really, really honest. And I wonder if, like, the way your cartoons are different is you happen to be a really honest person and you're not going to fall into a form that doesn't come from inside of you.
I don't know. I don't know how this relates to that exactly, but I think I felt like, well, you probably won't like me anyway, so I might as well do what I want to do.
Roz Chass is the author of countless great cartoons, and she's got a new book out next month, a collaboration with Patricia Marks. It's called, and you might want to write this down, Why Don't You Write My Eulogy Now So I Can Correct It? A Mother's Suggestions. Liana Fink's latest book is called Passing for Human, and I'm David Remnick. That's the show for today. I want to thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time.
This episode was brought to you by Empower. Are you ready for life's important milestones? What will your retirement look like? Do you know your net worth? Empower can help answer your money questions so you don't have to worry. With a real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you can get clarity on your real-life financial goals. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future to empower what's next. Start today at empower.com.